Good evening. Brother Glenn has asked us to read from Job 28, verses 18 to 28. Job 28, verses 18 to 28. And as I looked over these verses real quick, part of this section in my Bible has the headline, the price of wisdom. And the other section has the source of wisdom. And I had to think, you listen to the world out there today, you're talking about wisdom, they think they have wisdom. There's not much wisdom out there. There just seems like there's no answers at all. And verse 19 talks about the price of wisdom. It says, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. You can't buy wisdom, godly wisdom. And when we need wisdom, God is the source, and he's the one we need to go to get it. So I'm kind of anxious to hear what Brother Glenn has for us here this evening. Okay, verse 18 of chapter 28 of Job. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept closed from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. To make the weight of the winds, he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and the way for a lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. A lot of good wisdom in those words there in verse 28. Okay, at this time, all who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Greetings tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Good to see each of you. And tonight we want to talk about wisdom. That would be the title of our message this evening, that of wisdom. And as been said earlier tonight by our brethren, it's certainly, I think, timely that we think about wisdom. The world is grasping for answers and understanding and wisdom to make decisions, and they're just all empty out there, and they don't have anything to hang on to or to turn to. They don't know which way to go. We're all going to need wisdom as the days continue and the darkness around us gets even darker. We're going to need wisdom to live our lives in a way that pleases God. And hopefully tonight we can be challenged as to where to go for wisdom and where our hearts should be, what our focus should be in life. We need wisdom throughout every day of our lives, and sometimes it doesn't hit us like it does other days, but today it hit me kind of over and over that I lacked wisdom and I needed to ask for it. Something that maybe it can be difficult sometimes to know what to say to a brother. Like this morning, I struggled. What do I say? And then this afternoon, visiting Steve Neely, I'm standing there not knowing what to do, what to say, what to read. And I found myself right in the midst of talking to Steve, praying for discernment and wisdom. And I don't know if it's medication or what's going on, but it was hard to communicate with Steve. He was kind of coming and going. I told him something, and later it was apparent that he hadn't even remembered it. So I also prayed there that God would give him some clearness of mind and thought. He told my wife about a year ago, they met at the grocery store. He told her, she was witnessing to him, and he said, I believe before I die, God will give me an opportunity to repent. We know that that's not wise. We know that that is foolishness. And I had to remind him of that today, and he's like, oh yeah, God's going to give me that opportunity. And I'm thinking, come on, Steve. And I said, well, okay. I said, this is that window. This is that window of opportunity. Yeah, I understand you almost died, and you don't know if you're going to live another night, and I don't know if I will. And yeah, right. That's when I got to asking for wisdom, and it just hit me. I need to lead him in a prayer. I just pray that God heard him, and that it came, even as he repeated me, it came out of him in sincerity. Then as I'm leaving the hospital, I get out the door and I take about 10 steps. I found out you have to enter and exit at the emergency room entrance. I was baffled why there were no vehicles at the other one, at the visitor entrance, until I saw the sign, use emergency. I'm a little slow. So I'm leaving and I hear a voice behind me. And I spin around and it's a man. I recognize him immediately. He had been sitting in there all evening. I mean, the whole afternoon that I was there. He was there when I got there, and he was there. I saw him as I left. I thought he was waiting to be administered to by the doctors. He saw me carrying a Bible. That's why he latched on to me. And I thought, here we go again. I'm going to need wisdom again. This man wants me to take him to Littlestown. I said, well, have you been discharged? And he said, yes, I'm free to go. And a brother-in-law is willing to come up from Maryland, but it's 2.5-hour drive, and I've been sitting in here all day, and I just got to get out of here. And he said he came in last night, and something about his appendix or something, I forget what he said, claimed he got help, claimed he was much better. I sensed he wasn't telling me everything. So what do you do? Do you pry? And you end up needing wisdom for situations like that. I ended up talking to the hospital staff. I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing the wrong thing, and a security officer in there ended up talking to me, and he said, yeah, you can take him, but I just, you know, we don't want you to get in trouble with this guy. We think he's okay. We think he's not going to be violent or anything. I said, I'm not a bit worried about him. I said, if it's legal for me to take him away, I'm taking him away. And on the way to Littlestown, he talked with a mask on. I couldn't stand it. I don't hear well to begin with, and that was muffled. I wish I would have heard it all, because he was talking about being a Quaker. And I heard him saying something. I wish I would have caught it all. But I said some things later because I wasn't sure what all he had said. But he was, don't they believe that there's an inner light in everyone, kind of like God is in everyone? I'm not sure. He denies that. No, there's one God, and we all worship that one God. I said, amen. Well, that's what we do. And talk about praying for wisdom. I didn't know what to do with this guy. His name is Charles. And to pray for Charles, I learned from the security officer at the hospital that he had been drinking the night before. And he never told me that. But since he told me that, I felt led to share with him why I was at the hospital and who I was visiting, and how drink has destroyed that person. I thought this might open this man up. Well, it didn't. He's just sorry to hear about my friend. I ended up taking him home down there in Littlestown, southern Littlestown, and I said, well, his car was along the edge of the street, and I said, well, that's the police station. Oh, yeah, he said, they're good folks, too. I said, well, how did you get to the hospital? Did an ambulance take you there? No, those police did. Yeah, he was drinking last night. And then he was like, I got to explain this to this Glenn. I got to explain this to him. So he said, they thought I was suicidal, but that wasn't true at all. Not one word about the drinking. I wanted to give him my phone number, but he said he thinks it'd be more appropriate if I had his. So I took it. So I'm going to call him sometime. But I didn't know quite all what he had said, so I'm asking God for wisdom, and so I just gave him a whole row. So, well, God, this God you say we all need to worship, he revealed himself to mankind through his Son, through Jesus Christ, and Jesus went on the cross and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. We need to accept him as our personal Savior and Lord. We believe all that. We teach all that. So I don't know what the Quakers teach. But that man claimed they teach all that. So pray for Steve. Pray for Charles, this new person that I came across. I had to think. I want to get home. I want to possibly even study another scripture for maybe even a different sermon. And time was running out, and now here's this man wants me to take him to Littlestown. And I had to think. Jesus was going places sometimes, and he got interrupted. He was on a mission one day. He had a job to do. He had a house to go to. But in the throng of people, a woman touched the hem of his garment. And instead of saying, "Let go of me, can't you see I'm in a hurry?" he ministered to her. And he took time out for her, and he did this repeatedly. You have to believe that God puts certain people in your path, and you end up getting to pray with them before you part, and then you can go home and continue to pray for them. Wisdom. Job chapter 28, where Brother Nathan read from, absolutely one of the most beautiful poems in all of Scripture. Verses 1 to 11 that I did not have read. Verses 1 through 11 here in Job chapter 28 describes how hard man will labor to dig out, to extract the ores and the precious metals that are hidden within the earth. And man will just go all out and get at that wealth that's under the ground, down in the earth. And verses 1 to 11 go through that. And then in verse 12, I won't take the time there in those verses, but then in verse 12 of Job 28, Job raises a very important question. But where shall wisdom be found? We've learned that these precious metals are in the earth, and we're willing to put forth great effort and expense into recovering these metals out of the earth so that we can be rich, so that we can have whatever we want in this life. But the question needs to be asked, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? So that question needs to be answered. And it comes up here in contrast to all this wealth seeking that men go through and the limits that they will go to get the precious metals out of the earth so that they can be richer than their neighbor. You know, many, many men risk their very life. Many have died because they've been trying to get rich, harvesting the metals of the earth, the gold rushes of history. You know, people just losing their heads, no wisdom at all. They just rush off and they don't even think about the coming winter, the hardships they're going to face, the wild animals that they're going to have to deal with. And even worse than wild animals, they would have to deal with the lowest forms of humanity. And when riches get in the eyes of man, look out. Then when somebody would actually get some gold, and that was her whole object, now they had to worry about their very life because the other guy wants their wealth. And they'll steal it and they'll kill. And they murder. And that's what happened many times as man has gone off in wild, idiotic gold rushes. Job spoke of the wealth of the world that men murder and die for. Men consider themselves wise when they accumulate millions of dollars and hoard it up for themselves. They consider that wise to lay all that up. Job does not credit them with wisdom at all. You know, amid the madhouse of wealth seekers, all trying to outdo the other and all trying to get ahead and be top dog, Job still must ask the question, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Where is it at? It's not found among the gold rush crowd. Neither is it found in the large crowd of professing Christian church members whose bank accounts and retirement plans are more important to them than the souls of perishing people all around them. Wisdom isn't found in that crowd. It's not found among the spiritual compromisers who value the praise of man above the praise of God. It's not found in the crowd that fears man and needs man's approval instead of fears God. And the fear of God enters into this sermon. It's part of a series that I worked on a while back with the common theme of the fear of the Lord in them. It's not found in any of these people that fear man rather than God. In churches that want to swell their attendance, and because of that they quit preaching the truth, and they compromise, and finally you can't even see a shred of truth among them, and they accept the sins of divorce and remarriage, the sexual sins, the sexual sin of homosexuality. There's no wisdom anywhere to be found in such a group, in such a congregation. Wisdom is of God. We find this in the scripture. It comes from God. It is God. It is coming from God, and it always agrees with God's word. Striving for earthly riches and tolerating sin. Those two things, striving for earthly riches above all else and throwing your Christianity aside for it, or at least putting it at great risk. Striving for earthly riches and tolerating sin are two sure ways to be far removed from wisdom. Not even close. The vast majority of people, unfortunately, including many church people, terribly undervalue wisdom. Do not put a proper value on it. It's not even thought about. It's not sought after it. It's not desired to be understood or to be gained. Totally undervalued. Few people put a proper value on wisdom. They don't understand their need of it, but they know all the best earthly financial investments. They understand Wall Street up and down, the stock market. In verses 14 through 18, and then verse 18, we'll get to where Brother Nathan started, but verses 14 through 18, Job mentions here the most valuable treasures of this world. The greatest monetary treasures that man seeks after. It says there in verse 14, the depth saith, it is not in me. Referring back to wisdom, the sea saith, it is not with me. And then there's a statement here about how it cannot be gotten. Wisdom cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. So, no amount of money can buy wisdom. The richest man on earth cannot exchange all his wealth, his whole financial empire, because one day he decides, I need wisdom instead of this money. He can't exchange the two. It just can't be bought. The precious things of God, salvation, eternal life, the Holy Ghost within, peace within the heart in troubled times like these times of CCP. Maybe you never heard it called that. COVID-19. It's the CCP, but whatever. I won't go into that. But the precious things of God, having that peace within, no matter what's going on, no matter what storm is blowing and going around us, do you have a center in that storm where you find peace, joy, love, forgiveness? These are the precious things of God. These are the precious things of life. Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, joy and peace, hope, that security that we have in Jesus Christ. They cannot be bought These things cannot be bought. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He can't suddenly exchange that huge bank account, all his stock that he owns, because all of a sudden he needs to be saved. All of a sudden he wants wisdom. All of a sudden he wants God. But God has been pushed out so long, the Spirit's not there anymore. In Acts, there was a Simon, and we're not talking about Simon Peter either. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 22. This Simon here, this bad guy. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Maybe he dug in the earth, I don't know. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You know, Simon, you've just had a horrible, terrible, erroneous thought. Your money can perish with you. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Oh, people all of a sudden want to do what seems to be the cool thing to do. Woo, they're laying hands on people and amazing things are happening. That's kind of what I'd want to do. Might make me popular. And Peter says, this, you don't have any part in this. You got to get your heart right with God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Peter had some strong words for that man who thought he could buy spiritual things with money. Thy money perish with you. What a fool. Well, and then verse, in our text, Job 28, verse 18, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. And so, what this wisdom costs, or what it's worth, its value, you can't measure it. You can't measure it by our earthly ways of measuring things, or measuring money, measuring or counting, or the way we measure. It can't be done. This is in another category completely. It's separate. You just don't measure it like you do earthly things. This wisdom, it's far above the price of rubies, there in verse 18. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold, verse 19. Verse 20, the scripture repeats itself, and the question in verse 12 is repeated. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? So we're right back up to verse 12 again. Where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? We have the question of utmost importance, so important that it is repeated. And here we have it all over again in verse 20. You know, after considering the most valuable earthly, worldly treasures, the question in verse 12 remains unanswered, and so it has to be asked again. There's great questions to ask. And the answers to these questions, where is wisdom, where is understanding, these are worthy of our time and our effort to look into. They're worthy of our energy, and it's what we need to seek. But sadly, many church members and many times myself or whoever I'm talking to is more concerned about things far, far from wisdom. God pity us. God pity foolish man, and my foolishness at times. You know, the question repeated, the tremendous importance of it. It must be found. Don't we understand it was asked in verse 12, and now it's asked again in verse 20. We're going to have to find it. Where can it be found? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 21, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close, it's kept secret, it's kept hidden from the fowls of the air. Ungodly men are no closer to wisdom than the dumb beast and the fowls of the air, is what the Bible's saying here. Those who don't want God in their lives, the day comes that they need wisdom. They're not going to be any better off than those chickens that are up in the chicken coop, or the dumb beast out in the pasture. Isn't that something? Man gets compared with the beast of the field and the fowl of the air because of his stubbornness in not wanting God in his life. Verse 22, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. The fame of wisdom? On the other side of the grave, we shall finally know as God knows. John chapter 13. Verses 6 and 7. Now I know that this is a totally different subject. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet in the upper room, but he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Do we have to understand everything that we're commanded in God's word to do it? No. We need to do it. We need to do it by faith. We need to take God at his word, whether we understand it or not in our little pathetic finite minds. We need to simply do it, and someday we'll know as God knows, but not yet. Verses 23 through 27, here we have God's wisdom described. God is wisdom. Verses 23 through 27, I'm going to read these again. God understandeth the way thereof, the way of wisdom. He knoweth the place thereof. He looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure when he made a decree for the rain, and he weighed for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. There was quite a lightning display last evening. I just kept watching out the bedroom window, and I just kept watching and watching, and I was actually waiting on the rain, and rain came. I don't know what it measured at our place, but I believe it was well worthwhile. But some of that lightning was, I guess they call it cloud to ground. It almost hurt my eyes. It was that bright. But our God understands that kind of thing. He understands what he created. He is the one, the fount of all wisdom. So, in Job chapters 38 through 41, God asked, Job wanted a day when he could just ask God some questions. And he's going to make God answer some questions. He's going to make God explain some things. Job has suffered tremendously, and he just wants a day with God. He wants a day in God's courtroom. He wants to ask God some questions. When God finally came and revealed himself to Job, Job didn't have anything to ask him. But God had plenty to ask Job, and he asked him 83 questions. How many of those 83 questions do you think Job had an answer for? None. Not even one. Not one time could he answer God. He was speechless, and it led him to repentance. As he was challenged by the greatness of God and God's wisdom and how small he was in comparison, and how he had no right to question God. These questions that God asked Job, they were teaching Job, they were revealing the unmeasurable wisdom of God. And man has none, except it is given to man by God and from God. Yeah, in Job chapter 37, Job is admonished to listen. There in verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. It would do us all good to remember sometimes to just look at creation, look at the stars, hear the thunder rolling and the lightning light up the sky, and just wait there and stand still and consider our great God and his wondrous works and who he is and how little and puny we are. Man is too limited in knowledge. You know, there in Job 37, 15 to 20, man, it just reveals how limited man's knowledge is. For us to speak to approach, or to understand such a God. There in verses 21 to 23 of Job 37, and now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of mercy, in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. God Almighty. And Job chapter 28, or Job chapter 38, part of this questioning of Job. Job chapter 38, verses 36 and 37. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who hath done that? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? And going back to Job chapter 28, verse 28. On the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. We just found it. Do we really want it? Do we fear God the way we should? Is that what's wrong with the church? Is that what's wrong with society? Yeah, I think it is. You hardly hear it mentioned anymore, the fear of the Lord and the need of it in every child of God's life. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. In other words, that equals wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And you will find over and over in Scripture, the fear of the Lord and departing from evil are together. And that wisdom and understanding are together. And these are where they come from. The fearing the Lord, having a reverential awe of him, a healthy dose of it in our lives. And when that fear of the Lord, when that reverential awe of his presence is in our lives, we are automatically going to eschew, as the Bible says about Job. We are going to avoid, we are going to shun evil. Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed, avoided, shunned evil. Job had the fear of God in his life. And because of that, he had nothing to do with evil. He didn't make a place for iniquity. He didn't allow that capacity to be there. He stayed far from it. Behold, the fear of the Lord. Mark this. Take notice to this, is what that word behold means. Don't pass over this and just lose it. But grasp it and take it with you. Remember it. Behold, take note here. Mark this very precisely. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And then understanding is to depart from evil. Man has not wisdom enough to understand God. or his creation, or God's universe or nature. And so a proper response to such an awesome God is to fear him, and in doing so, man receives wisdom from God. You know, the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Really, the whole thing. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver. You see the connection here, the comparison that's being made, just like Job 28. The writer of Proverbs here, the Holy Spirit here, the Lord giveth, where was I? Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. If only we would seek wisdom as we do silver, as we do money, as we do material possessions. If only we would seek wisdom like that. Do you get it here, what he's saying? And searchest for her as for hid treasures. What Job 28 goes on and on about there. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. But only if only we would seek after it in place of, to the same degree that men seek after the values of this earth. Earthly riches that are going to all burn up, all going to pass away. And people will be so shocked that suddenly it's all gone and life was so short and now here I am in this eternal state and I can't change it. Can't do a thing about it. The Proverbs are full of thoughts here on wisdom. I'll share a couple with you. Proverbs chapter 14, for example, verse 16. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. See that? Wisdom and departing from evil are connected, but the fool rageth and is confident. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. We have it again. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men do what? Depart from evil. They're together. They are together. When we do not depart from evil, we're just not prepared spiritually. We're not right with God. We're not where we should be. Because if we would be and we had that fear of God in our life and we'd be aware of our pathetic situation and position in front of our holy God that we're going to face in judgment someday, we would get out of that evil that we're in. We wouldn't have anything to do with it. We would want to get far from it. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord and departing from evil go together. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 13 to 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise, remember Job 28, better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. But we do, in our foolishness. We end up comparing them, but they are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. True riches, eternal riches that will never fade away. Moth and rust will not corrupt them. Thieves will not break through and steal them. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 makes it very clear. It says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, we're not even going to get started. We're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to know a thing when it comes to wisdom, true wisdom, before we start fearing the Lord. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, in trying to define wisdom tonight, we'll take a little stab at it. The ability to live life successfully in view of eternity. The ability to live life successfully in view of eternity. And so it won't be the way the world looks at it. We'll appear foolish to them. Understanding, possibly the capability of discerning right from wrong, and what matters and what doesn't matter. We struggle with that sometimes. I do. Understanding what really matters and what really doesn't matter in life. Life has a way of revealing that sometimes when certain things happen. Now, Job, number one, Job feared God. Number two, Job eschewed, he shunned, he avoided evil. You know, connect Job chapter 1, verse 1 with Job chapter 28, verse 28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That was Job. We see that Job was wise, and he had understanding. This resulted in the endurance and the patience that the New Testament gives Job credit for in James chapter 5, verse 11. Consider the patience of Job. He didn't just one day have that patience. It doesn't work that way. Well, I hope when that day comes, I'll have patience. I hope I'll have faith. Did Joseph all of a sudden have what he needed to run from an evil woman? Did he suddenly muster up the spiritual strength to do so? He had that spiritual strength. He was living that kind of life. And so when that day came, he had the power of God within him to stay pure. It doesn't just happen all of a sudden. It must be our life. It must be our life like it was for Job. Satan's goal, Satan's vicious, wicked goal was to get Job to curse God. But it did not work. It might have worked with his wife, but it wasn't going to work with him. And Satan's scheme failed because Job was a man that feared God all along. And so when all these things fell upon him, James tells us we should consider his patience. The person whose life is governed by the fear of the Lord is not going to curse God. We might wonder why. We might wonder why. And that's okay, but we're not going to curse God. We're not going to blame God foolishly. And we're not going to be bitter and angry with God. We're just not going to. One more scripture, and I'll let you go. 1 Corinthians. I think I want to read one more scripture. There's so much scripture in the Bible about wisdom. We've just scratched the surface. I hope it's been worthwhile. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some scripture here on wisdom, and then we'll close. Beginning at verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Puts it in perspective. Man thinking he is so smart with all his modern technology when he actually knows nothing. when you put him there beside God. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And this Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise God. He has chosen to love foolish man and puny man and sinful man. He has chosen to love us, and he has chosen to give us Christ, who is wisdom unto us. May God be praised.
Let's stand for closing prayer.